This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. The week is almost over. We have to have a conversation.
I don't think it's a heavy conversation, but I think it's an interesting one, and I'm not totally sure I know the answer to it. And we're going to get to that in a moment. It's about how we conduct ourselves and how we don't. We're going to talk about the merging of two American giants. There's a very exciting story out there. Americans not wanting to get involved in foreign wars, all kinds of emails, all kinds of stuff to get to. But I'm going to start here. Obviously, we have to change you, me. We have to change how we have conducted ourselves politically. Here's what I'm talking about. I have not done enough to save my country. And it doesn't matter that I've done this and done that and done this and run for office. And it doesn't matter. I very clearly haven't done enough because the country ain't saved. So I need to do more. I need to be better. And can I be perfect? Of course not. I need to do better. I need to do more. And I need to change some of how I've been operating, as we talked about before. What's that old saying? Or wait, no, it's my saying, Chris. What does that saying go? How's the saying go? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. That's a Jesse Kelly quote, as everyone knows by now. I came up with that. No, I didn't, but seriously. So I have to change. We have to be better. But what does that mean? What does better mean? What does different mean? You know, here's what I mean. Let me explain. I'm going to read something. I'm going to skip over a lot, but I am probably going to read more than I normally read. This is from one of our listeners, and the subject of this one is yesterday's primaries. She's talking about Tuesday's primaries. So she starts off, Jesse the Vest, I'm a political junkie, you know, she loves politics, so on and so forth. Every election, I donate what I can, which isn't much. I might gently mention to a couple people that it's election day and then just smile when they tell me they can't be bothered. Okay, so she's someone who's always been into politics, has not been very in your face about it with family and friends, just kind of politely smiles and moves on. She goes on to say, well, not this year. This year, I made sure people knew that early voting was going on, brazenly offered to give them voting recommendations. I even put yard signs in the yard. In the end, I had to do research not only on the 47 items that were on my ballot, but I did research for people in multiple counties and districts. And in the end, I gave voting recommendations to 16 people. That's 16 people who wouldn't have known anything about their ballots if it wasn't for her. She says, thanks to you, I decided to be bold this year. We can't just stay politely silent. We have to start doing things. And she goes, by the way, I'm not going to read the rest of it just because it's long, but it's awesome. Like, it's all awesome. She finishes it by saying, sorry, this is long. Thank you for pushing me to do more. We pray for our candidates every election season. This election, I pray that God would send me more voters to give recommendations to. It was a lot of work, but it was totally worth it. As our good friend Maria Salazar says, freedom isn't free.
You know, freedom is not free.
And her name is Heather. I want to make sure I give her all the credit in the world. Okay, so Heather made a change this year. She's not the only one who's emailed in. You've heard me read them. I don't read all of them, but hey, Jesse, this year I got involved. This year I worked at the polls. This year I told friends. This year... Okay, so that there's no doubt that that is a positive change. We don't have to debate that. It's not debatable. The change Heather made from being politely political to, hey, Bob, voting's today. Here's your voting sheet, Bob. Let's go, Bob. That's a positive change. That's someone who cares enough to get involved. Okay, but what about things we don't love? And things that may make us uncomfortable. Everyone knows Heather is the good guy there. So look, that's what it's all about. What are your thoughts on shouting at the president during the State of the Union address? And when I say thoughts, would you do it? Would you do it? Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, came out today and he discouraged heckling at the State of the Union. Just kind of calming things down. Let him go. Let him talk. Discouraged heckling. And I'm not going to dog on Mike Johnson for that. But let me ask you something. Would they do it? Now, pause. I'm not doing the petty hit them back. You know, I'm really not. I'm not doing that. So don't yell at me about having a heart of forgiveness. That's not what I'm saying. Just stay with me. Would they do it? I'm going to play something for you. It's going to sound unrelated. It's not. I'm going to play something for you. Yesterday, Rashida Tlaib, that radical nutball communist from Michigan, had a chance to quiz the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. Remember, Jerome Powell is supposed to not be political at all. He's the Fed chairman, majorly an important job. And Rashida Tlaib, sitting down, has an opportunity to question the Federal Reserve Chairman, and this is what she asked him about.
Last question, Chair Powell. Do you believe that the impacts of climate change pose a risk? Have you been talking about that more?
I certainly believe that climate change is real and
I guess it's real. What? Okay, so why would I play that? What does this have to do with anything? Rashida Tlaib doesn't care about decorum. Rashida Tlaib doesn't think there's any time where she would ever set her religion aside. Rashida Tlaib is committed. And look, I don't want to be Rashida Tlaib. And I don't want you to be Rashida Tlaib. But here's what I'm saying. The communist has conducted himself in many ways over the years, many ways that make a more traditional person like me. I'm pointing fingers at myself, not just you, it makes that conduct kind of cringeworthy for me. Even when our side has shouted at the president, it's not that it bothers me that they hurt his feelings or something. You know, I don't give a crap about that. I always thought it kind of looked bad. Chris, do you have the audio? Who was it? Was it Boebert? Or this was last time Joe Biden gave it when we did this.
A cancer that would put them in a flag draped coffin. I know. 13. One of those soldiers was my son, Major Bo Biden.
Okay. So shouting about the Afghanistan 13. Okay. All right. Did you like that? Maybe you did, and I'm not judging you either way, but did you like that? The shouting during the State of the Union address. I've never cared for it. I think every time they do it, it looks ridiculous. I think when we do it, it looks ridiculous. And again, I'm not worried about the president's feels or something like that. I just don't think it looks great. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are things that I need to change as well. And undoubtedly there are. Maybe there are a lot of things I need to change about how I view politics in America. You see, everybody can read Heather's email where she went from, you know, involved to freaking making changes. Everyone can read that email and say, yeah, that's a change we all need to make. That's a positive change. Let's do it. What if we have to start making changes in ways that make us uncomfortable? We have traditionally, on the right, we have shunned those things because of our values, because the right is much more inclined to be a live and let live type thing. I don't care what my neighbor does as long as he leaves me alone. That's how we have traditionally thought, and that's a good way to think. I'll mind my business, you mind yours. So it's not the rights. It's not in most of our nature to start doing more things that make them uncomfortable, but they've been doing things that make us uncomfortable, and let's be honest about something, it works. How many times have Republicans caved and cowered and grabbed their ankles in the face of communist street aggression? That's why they do it. Remember, we almost didn't have Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court because a communist street activist pinned then Senator Jeff Flake down in an elevator and started screaming in his face about women's rights and all this other stuff. And Jeff Flake sat there looking like he was about to wet his granny panties because a woman was yelling at him behind closed doors after he got screamed at. I know this for a fact. Let me make sure you understand this. I'm not guessing. I'm telling you this for a fact. I know it from my sources. Jeff Flake flipped his vote. He was a no on Brett Kavanaugh because of a street communist screaming at him in an elevator. He ended up having to get threatened. I won't go into the details of that. He ended up having to be threatened, professionally threatened, in order to flip his vote back. But we lost Brett Kavanaugh. We lost the Supreme Court because of communist street activism. We had to barely earn it back. So should that be us? I mean, it can't be me, but should it be us? Oh, I don't know about that, but it's something to think about, right? All right. Let's move on. We got to get to some more emails and some layoffs and some all kinds of other stuff out there. We also have to get to this. I had forgotten, because of all the years we owned dogs, I had forgotten how expensive vet bills were. How expensive it is every time you have to take the dog to the vet. Chris, do you have to take the cat to the vet? Do you guys ever go to the... Oh, Chris, that's terrible. Chris, of course, doesn't even take his cats to the vet. I'm sure it's to save money. Well, vets are expensive, Chris. You're probably making the right call, let me tell you. So how do you avoid the vet? You don't want to be like Chris and just abandon your pets, but you can't avoid the... What do you do? Well, if you start giving your dog rough greens... If you start putting real nutrition in your dog's food, you'll find yourself at the vet a lot less. Look, it's just like you. You take care of your body. You don't need the doctor as much. That's the goal, right? Avoid the doctor. Shouldn't the goal for our dogs be avoid the vet? Your dog needs nutrition. Start pouring rough greens on your dog's food. All right? 833-33-MY-DOG for a free jumpstart trial bag. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget to get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions emailed in right now, because tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get those emailed in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We will have fun. They don't have to be political. They can be about whatever. I don't care. Jesse, I agree with your thought that change starts at the local level. I watched the Tuesday elections, voted for my choice locally in my red state. The people here reelected the people who have been in office for 20 plus years. My state has been behind the rest of the country since I lived here. People here only want to work, support their local football team, have a fridge full of beer, and hunt deer. He said nothing wrong with the above, but they are not in tune with local and world events. They don't change their voting habits. It makes me sad, and so on and so forth. I'm in my 70s, and my heart is sad for the young ones. God bless you for being our alarm bell. I just feel the American people are dazed and confused and looking for someone to lead them out of Egypt, while others are content building the pyramid. Dang, that's a good way to put it. I'm stealing that. Hey, Chris, remind me, that's my line now. What, Chris? Love your commentary every day. Didn't say I can use this name, so I will not. Okay. So he's old and sad and wished people cared like he cared. Well, I'm going to play something for you. This is Charles Barkley, obviously basketball player Charles Barkley, and he's complaining about Democrats. And, well, here he is.
The reason I think the Democratic Party and Mr. Biden, President Biden, is losing black votes is they only care about black people every 4 years. They come into our neighborhoods and say, we're going to make stuff better. We're going to do this, do this, do this. And then finally, us black people are like, yo, man, other than my ability to dunk a basketball, all my neighborhoods are still the same. Our schools are still the same. And that's why I think black people are leaving disappointed in the Democratic Party, because I ain't going to lie, I voted Democratic every time just because I thought it was going to help black people and poor people. Because black people and poor white people, they're in the same boat. And like, I didn't care who the president was, I'm not going to lie, but I only voted Republican one time in my life, and that was for John Kasich, and I didn't even know he couldn't win. But then I'm starting to look like, man, I understand why black people are leaving, want to vote for somebody else, because every 4 years they come into our neighborhood and say, man, we're going to make things better for you.
Don't you relate to that as a Republican? I'm not even going to dog on Charles Barkley. Don't you relate to that as a Republican? And you hear, look, you and me, we talk, we rant about Norm all the time, right? Because you're not a Norm and I'm not a Norm. And we get frustrated that Norm won't wake up and frustrated that Norm's not involved and frustrated that Norm just wants to hunt deer and drink beer and watch the game. And we get frustrated with Norm. But the truth is that our politicians, they treat us with the amount of respect we deserve as a people, not you as an individual. As a people, they have figured out the exact amount of respect they have to give us. And that's why they don't give us very much. What he just said about Democrats, you could say about Republicans too. I totally sympathize with what he just said. Now, we will disagree on all kinds of reasons behind that. But him, we vote Democrat every time. And the black neighborhood never gets better. And the black school never gets better. And I'm tired of it. And they only care about us every 4 years. Well, that's because you vote Democrat every time. That's because they understand they don't actually have to give you squat. They understand that they can stand up there every 4 years and be Mr. Black People, and we're going to bring money back here, and there's going to be money for this and money for that, and you'll run and vote Democrat every single time like a lemming, and then they'll just screw you over like they always do. And I sympathize because that's us Republicans too. The same thing. I want taxes low. I want government, entire government bureaucracies eliminated. I don't just want a government program eliminated. I want entire bureaucracies eliminated. I want a border wall that you can see from outer space. And I'm talking Pluto. That's where I want to see the border wall from. I want all this gender filth out of my government. I want this and this and this and this and this. And every 4 years, Republicans run to me during the election season and tell me they will deliver it to me. My congressman does it. My senator does it. The wannabe president does it. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to build the wall and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And then they get into office and they don't do squat. And whose fault is that? Ours. Our primaries do not properly punish the people who lie to us all the time. And until that changes, nothing changes. Until your Republican, congressman, senator, whoever, and state, this applies to state houses very much as well. State houses, state senators. We ask all the Republicans who just got bounced in the Texas state house. Until the Republican fears the Republican voter tossing him out in the primary, nothing changes. Now, this older gentleman was sad. But remember, I just read an email before, and I've got a bunch of them. People are getting more involved. It's just not going to happen as fast as you want it to happen. All right. But remember, you're also moving faster than the people around you because you've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk. So while all the dudes around you, they might be moving at, let's say, 60%, 70%. There you are at 95, 100% because you've been on a male vitality stack. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Your mind is moving like a hamster on a wheel. Ladies, don't think you're left out. Female vitality stack for you. You want the energy to get off your butt on a Saturday and go start knocking on doors, doing get out the vote effort, getting involved in a school board race. All of us, Chalk.com. Natural herbal supplements at Chalk.com from the most hardcore anti-communists of any company I've ever worked with. Gosh, I love them so much. And they're wonderful to deal with too. Go look at all the things they have. They have things that will improve your life without big pharma filth wrecking your body, all right? And they have a big discount right now, a Mega March discount. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Don't forget to email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Email in your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Download the podcast of the show on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. We have some incredible news here on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show.
It's journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
Ever crave an Applebee's and IHOP at the same time? Of course, who hasn't? Joint restaurants could be coming to the U.S. Oh, gosh, I would wreck an Applebee's IHOP. What, Chris? What? Oh, Chris, exactly like the KFC Taco Bell's, only I've got one to beat you there. And I don't know whether this is still a thing or whatnot, so just stay with me. But when I was a kid, we moved to Bozeman, Montana from Ohio when I was 10 years old, and so we were in Bozeman. Now, Bozeman at the time was only 30, 35,000 people, so not a tiny town at all, but certainly not a big city by any stretch of the imagination. And there weren't tons of restaurants. Let me clarify something for all of you city slickers out there. No, we weren't riding horses to school with tumbleweeds going up and down the road. We had restaurants and stuff. We had an Applebee's. We were high end. We just didn't have everything. We didn't have a Red Lobster. All right. We weren't big enough for that. Big enough for Applebee's, not big enough for Red Lobster. Does that make sense? Now, they put in this new superhighway in my town. And they put in what I consider to be the greatest probably restaurant combo I've ever seen in my life. Chris, you would have died. It was a KFC, a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and an A&W root beer. Have you ever, you've never, okay, that's what I was worried about. You've never eaten. A lot of people, almost everyone's heard of A&W root beer. But what many people, it depends on which region of the country you're in. You don't know that A&W is actually its own individual fast food joint, or at least it was. They're probably out of business now. When I was there, it was a thing, but I'm hoping it still is. Rooting for you, A&W. But anyway, you're probably confused about the appeal. Well, one, as a fast food joint, it was pretty good. It was burgers, fries, milkshakes, that kind of thing. But the reason it was a thing was, unsurprisingly, the root beer. And I need to clarify, the bottle of A&W root beer you've bought in the gas station for your entire life or that you got at a random restaurant tastes absolutely nothing like real, authentic A&W root beer that they have. They have, obviously, it's on a tap. It's a special blend. It's a separate tap. They have a special A&W root beer tap at A&W, the fast food joint, and it is so good, man. A&W root beer is the best from an A&W shop. Most people listening to the sound of my voice have never had it. I'm obviously a very well-traveled Renaissance man. What, Chris? So I have had it. Anyway, in my town, we were just getting going. Just a budding town. They put in a KFC A&W root beer combo store. So you could go in. What, Chris? Why don't you look impressed? No, they had other burgers and fries and stuff, but didn't you hear what I just said? They put in a KFC A&W root beer. So I don't think you're understanding what that means. You can go get a bucket of extra crispy with some biscuits. And KFC's wedges are kind of garbage. They're too big, but you can get some of those too, whatever, and wash all that down with an ice cold, authentic A&W root beer. Are you not understanding what I'm saying? This isn't landing for you at all. You're stupid. Let's get to some emails. Jay Steele, not entirely sure where I heard this, but as legend has it, after the Allies cracked the Axis code in World War II, there was a need to not let on that we had full knowledge of their planned actions. In order to allay suspicion, apparently there were some missions where we sent our troops with the intention to fail. On one hand, I can see where this would be advantageous in the grand scope of things, but yikes, how would you like to make that call? Well, we've talked about this in different ways before, but this is one of the things that hits me really, really hard when I read older stories from all throughout history about battles and big these big battles and big wars, and that wasn't unique to World War II. There are just times, many times in war, where you as a commander have to order your troops into almost certain death. And that is so brutal, and it's so brutal on the men, at least the ones who have some sort of a soul. Some of these guys are just sociopaths and it doesn't bother them. It's not like Hitler was laying awake at night stressing about the German troops dying in the Soviet Union. But for military leaders with a soul, it's just gut-wrenching for them, and they write about it all the time. They write about that we had to leave these guys here. We had to leave these guys there. We couldn't go do this. We couldn't go, or we had to send guys in. And yeah, how do you get by? I mean, look, there are times like Napoleon, you'll read about Napoleon. Now, he was a bit more cold-hearted about it, but at these different battles, he would, men just simply had to charge and die. And sometimes charging and dying is needed. But you understand, look, actually, let's talk about the military. Now I hope it's bringing home for you the way it's bringing home for me. This is why I get so concerned about the current state of our military. I get very, very concerned about the ground fighters who are in there. I'm talking about the studs who are in there, who are studs. I'm concerned about the filth that leads them, the filth that is surrounding them. And I hate it when troops' lives are thrown away for nothing. Because remember, if you have an incredible commander who cares about you, as we were just talking about, he might have to order you into a situation where you're going to die. Now, what if you have a commander who doesn't care about you at all? What's that like? What is that like? Look, I want you to just imagine this is your colonel.
And, the only really guidance I put out there for them to consider is stop hiring middle-aged white people, especially dudes that are pilots, because honestly, we all think alike too much. And if we're going to be preaching diversity and being inclusive, then for crying out loud, let's back it up with, let's make the rhetoric meet the reality.
How do you serve under that colonel? Is that colonel going to be hesitant to send my son or yours to die? Is he even going to care? Would it matter to him in the least? I don't know. That's ugly. Look, and this stuff too. Did you hear this gold star mom on CNN? Listen to this. I mean, again, a caring commander having to order his son or his men to die. Listen to how our troops are treated in this country.
President Biden, he's often called the consoler in chief. He does.
By the way, no one calls him that. No one calls him that but the media. You made that up, you stupid communist on CNN.
President Biden, he's often called the consoler in chief. He does talk to families who have lost loved ones because of his own experiences. Have you experienced that from him as you've been coping with the death of Nicole?
No.
Have you spoken to him?
No, he has not reached out to our family. We've actually reached out to the White House and have never heard back. We asked to meet with them to kind of understand where their thinking was in calling this a success, and we've not received a response. It's been months. No, that's not been our experience at all.
Sorry to hear that.
I guess consoler in chief might not be accurate. He won't return a phone call to a mother who lost her baby over there. Whew. Tough, right? That's tough. All right. Speaking of gold star mothers, gold star families, fallen first responder families, Tunnel to Towers does return phone calls. Tunnel to Towers is out there. You know, we go through the course of our day all the time, not not thinking about these people as often as we should, but that's Tunnel to Towers' mission every day, is to do good for these people, to do right by these people, paying off mortgages for Gold Star families so they at least can ease the financial burden, building homes for catastrophically injured veterans, a homeless veteran program. Tunnel to Towers is out there doing the hands and feet work we've been commanded to do. Help them do it. $11 a month. T2T.org. T2T.org.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and we have to remember... By the way, we still have more than an hour. Don't worry. We have to remember
to focus from time to time on the true nature of democracy.
You know, I think that there's a duality to the nature of democracy. When it's intact, oh, it's so strong in terms of what it does to uphold and protect individual rights and freedoms. So strong in its nature. And it is very fragile. It will only be as strong as our willingness to fight for it.
I love her. She's the best man alive. You know, we've had this talk before, so we don't have to have it again. I'm just going to once again ask the question I've asked a million times. This is just a question. We'll never know. But Joe Scarborough,
when Joe Scarborough goes home at night, and he's got a big cable television show. He makes millions and millions a year. I'm sure. I don't know how much, nor do I care, but I know he's a millionaire several times over. He's got a big show on MSNBC. He's millionaires. Life is good. I'm sure he's got a fancy house and car, you know, whatever. But do you think Joe Scarborough ever, when he goes home and he's brushing his teeth in his fancy house with his fancy mirror, do you think he looks at himself in the mirror and thinks about what he did that day? And do you think he feels dirty?
I think he's better than he's ever been intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years.
He's better than he's ever been. Talking about Joe Biden, we can see Joe Biden, as I've brought up before. And this is me not being mean, and I'm certainly not rooting for this at all. I'm worried that Joe Biden's going to die. And I mean that because we can watch him deteriorate in front of our eyes. He wasn't doing great 3-4 years ago when he was campaigning. He really wasn't doing great. And believe me, that's me being way nice. He wasn't doing great. He looks like a shell of that guy now. What worries me as much as hearing him talk is seeing him walk. He shuffles around like somebody who's going fast. And if he goes, this is the president of the United States of America.
You know, I think that there's a duality to the nature of democracy. When it's intact, oh, it's so strong in terms of what it does to uphold and protect individual rights and freedoms.
I'm sorry, I can't. That person might be the president. All right, before we get to the FBI, and the layoffs and a little bit of illegal immigration stuff, we have in about 5 minutes. Man, Brandon Darby gets another spike of the football. You want to stay informed? Listen to the Jesse Kelly Show. We have a good one for you. About 5 minutes from now, stick with that. Let's get to a couple more emails before we get to that other stuff. Hey, Uncle Jesse. Did women ever hit on you during the book signings? I suspect some blind people may have wandered into at least one of these. Well, what a jerk. He said, I miss your vest, by the way. It made you look like Aladdin. Keep up the great work. His name is Chris. I guess the Ask Dr. Jesse questions are already coming in for tomorrow. Let me put it to you this way. I'm not sure. And here's why I'm not sure. The wife says that I don't have feelings. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I would more say I'm, what does my mentor Michael Berry say, that I'm a disassociated sociopath?
And there are many bad things that come from that. That's a bad thing. You don't want to be like that. And another one of the bad things is I'm not very intuitive when it comes to reading the things people will say. And that includes women hitting on me. I will be out with the wife all the time. We're at a this or that or this or that, or we're at this event and we'll meet with these people or a couple or someone wants a picture or whatever and shake hands. And she will say, you know, that person was, you know, she was hitting on you, right? And I'll, every time I'll think she's being just overprotective because she's not this, this jealous soul. But every time I'm thinking to myself, oh, no, she wasn't. She said, you are such an idiot. Why can you never tell? So that's a long way of saying if they were, and I'm sure they were, they're only human. If they were hitting on me during the book signing, I couldn't really tell. There was a lot of people though. I mean, just because I'm so popular, Chris. What, Chris? Hey, Jesse, I clerked at my local polling place for the first time in this primary. Been wanting to serve in this way for years. I was sorely disappointed in the turnout, even if the presidential candidate is all but decided. So many down ballot races and so many flippant excuses from not making it a priority to vote. Says I can say her name. Her name is AC in Alabama. Look at all these people getting involved, Chris. Jesse, I agree with you and the Civil War in the United States. But my question is, if not now, when? When do we do something about these people? Again, let me stress, we are not nearly as involved as we can be and as we will be when it comes to choosing who holds power in this country. I am going to start trying to be better about using the word politics or political so we can have a more appropriate conversation about what we're dealing with. Politics is really about power. We have neglected the people who are in power. We haven't held them accountable. We haven't held people on our side accountable for not fighting. We don't get involved. We don't get off our butts and go fight the way the communist does. I know you don't care about this, at least nationwide, but here in Harris County is where Houston, Texas is. They had a big DA race where there was a, not a radical nut job, kind of a moderate Democrat. And there was some nutball communist running up against the moderate. The nutball communist blew her out. 75-25. Why? The communists care enough to get off their butts and get involved. And they understand a civil war and taking up arms is not a real solution when you still have the ability to do it by other means. We are not getting involved enough yet. How about that one for a long way to end that sentence? We are getting better. We are getting better. We're not near where we need to be. All right. The FBI isn't where it needs to be either. We will discuss that. This illegal immigration talk, still an hour left. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.